is the one to whom Thomas said, as he fell at his feet, "My Lord and my God." The one who said these words was God manifest in flesh. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. And, says the scripture, it is impossible for God to lie. So these are words that we can rely upon absolutely. You know, God's plan of salvation is very costly. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. It's very costly, but it's very simple. Anyone, old, young, wise or unwise, God has made the plan of salvation so simple, the Bible says that the wayfaring man, though a fool, should make no mistake about the way of salvation. And I'm very thankful to God for the simplicity of the gospel. Our Lord said, you remember in John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever will believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We read some strange statements in the Word of God. God delights, the Bible says, with the sons of men. We don't find any reason given that God should love us, but the fact is he does love us. When we were yet without strength, the Bible says, Christ died for us. It says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Absolutely no reason whatever is given in the Word of God why God should love us as far as we're concerned. Man is at enmity with God. The Bible says the carnal mind is enmity against God, is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The Bible says that they that are in the flesh cannot, it doesn't say does not, but cannot please God. Think of it. The first thing that you ever did in your life that pleased God was when you received his Son as your Savior. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. I heard a story some time ago about a very wealthy Jew. And he bought himself a big yacht. He wasn't a yachtsman, but he bought a big yacht. And he dressed himself up in his uniform. And he says to his mother, "Mother, look, I'm a captain." And she said, "To me you're a captain. And to you you're a captain. But to a captain, you're no captain." And we speak of people as being good. But when God speaks about you and me, listen to what the Lord Jesus said. There is none good but one, that's God. That shuts the rest of us out, doesn't it? None good. And if we think that we're going to come to God on any other basis than the provision that he has made in his Son, we'll find out in eternity how absolutely wrong we were. I want you to notice in this passage two great comprehensive statements. First of all, the Lord Jesus says, "All that the Father giveth me will come to me." There is a limit set by God in eternity as to who is going to be in that all. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. They're coming because no one in time or eternity was ever going to be saved apart from the fact that they came to Christ. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. He thinks of that sum total, and there are millions already in heaven. There are millions here on earth who have come to Christ. Because that's what a person has to do to be saved. It's not by coming to church. It's not by coming to communion. It's not by coming to some creed. All that the Father giveth me, the Lord Jesus says, shall come to me. And then he says, and he narrows it right down to you and me. He doesn't give us any excuse. He says, him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Everybody who is lost forever will be lost, not because God does not love them, because the Bible says God will have all men to be saved. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the only ones who are going to be saved are those that come to Christ. No one will ever get saved. And the wonderful thing is that this passage tells us that no one who ever comes to Christ will be refused. The Lord Jesus has never refused anyone who came to him. No one will ever be able to say, Lord, I came to you, but you wouldn't receive me. But all who are going to be saved must come to Christ to be saved. We'll be singing one of our hymns, oh, what a Savior is Jesus, the Lord. Well might his name by his saints be adored. He has redeemed them from hell by his blood, saved them forever, and brought them to God. Now in the glory, he waits to impart peace to the conscience and joy to the heart, waits to be gracious, to pardon and heal all who their sin and their wretchedness feel. Thousands, millions. The hymn says thousands have fled to his spear-pierced side. Welcome they all have been. None are denied. None. Weary and laden, they all have been blessed. Joyfully now in the Savior that they rest. All that the Father giveth me. There have been millions that have come from the west. Millions that have come from the north. Millions that have come from the south. Millions that have come from the east. And all that the Father giveth me, he says, will come to me. There is no limitation put on who can come. It says, him that cometh unto me. Makes no difference what your life has been. Christ stands ready to receive you. This verse is as broad as John 3:16. Whosoever will may come. That's what John 3:16 teaches us. Somebody, Brother Godfrey Albee, as a matter of fact, loaned me a book while I've been here, and I've been reading it, just about through it, on the life of Henry Morehouse. Henry Morehouse was an English preacher back in the 1800s. He came to the United States, and he preached in D.L. Moody's church, and he preached in Moody's absence, and Moody came back on a service that were about 3 days old, and he was preaching on John 3:16. He spent a week preaching on John 3:16. Every night, he preached on John 3:16. When he came home, Moody asked his wife, well, how's the young man doing? He was called the boy preacher. He died at the age of 40. He was just a very, very young, boyish-looking fellow. Well, he said, just go and listen. And Moody said he'd been trying to hit people over the head. Beating him over the head to come to Christ. But he said what Henry Morehouse preached was the love of Christ. He said it changed his ministry. And one night he was preaching, and he preached on that word, whosoever. Whosoever. P.P. Bliss, 38 years of age when he died. A younger man at that time, he went home and he wrote a little hymn on the basis of the message that he heard that night. Whosoever heareth, shout the sound. Spread the blessed tidings all the world around. Tell the joyful news wherever man is found. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever cometh need not delay. Now the way is open, enter while you may. Jesus the true, the only living way. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, the promise is secure. Whosoever will, forever must endure. Whosoever will, 'tis life, forevermore. Whosoever will may come. All that the Father giveth me will come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Now this verse presents the thought of the sovereignty of God in salvation. Because everyone that is saved is going to have no one to thank but God for their salvation. And everyone who's lost will have only themselves to blame. Because the Lord Jesus says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. You know, God is going to give his Son a reward. He always rewards obedience. And he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And read in John chapter 17, the Lord Jesus says, Father, of all those thou hast given me, I've lost none. Seven times over in that chapter, it speaks of God's people as God's gifts to his Son. He's going to see of the fruit of the travail of his soul, and he's going to be satisfied. Not one is going to be missing. You read in Romans chapter 8, whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. And whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And those he called, those he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. And he hasn't glorified one yet. But it puts it in the past tense. For God can speak of things that are not as though they were. Nothing is going to keep him from the accomplishment of his Son. Complete in thee no work of mine may take, dear Lord, the place of mine. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me. And glorified I too shall be. The work which his goodness began, the arm of his strength, will complete. Let's think of these two grand statements. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. God has a people for his Son. Isn't it wonderful to think of yourself, fellow believer, as God's gift to his Son? Let me say this. God is no Indian giver. What he's given to his Son, he's not going to take back. He said, no, that one didn't really belong to you. But no one can claim to be one of God's gifts to his Son unless you come to him. It's not enough to come to the Bible. It's not enough to come to the prayer meeting. It's not enough to come to a church. Listen to the directions. Sometimes we fail to read the directions as him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. That him is just as wide as could possibly him. It doesn't say anything whether you might have been a murderer, you might have been an adulterer, you might have been a thief, you might have been guilty of every sin under the sun. No limitation is put up that invitation of the Lord Jesus. Him that comes to me, he says, I will in no wise cast out. All who have ever been saved have been brought to the Savior by the sovereign grace of God. No one has been brought to the Savior except that person who has deliberately said, yes, Lord Jesus, I'll trust you, and I'll trust you with my soul. C.H. Spurgeon used to say that heaven will be filled with the whosoever wills, and hell will be filled with the whosoever wants. Those who say, I will not, come, that I might have a life. I don't understand God's sovereignty and salvation. I don't need to understand God's sovereignty and salvation. All that I need to understand is the Lord promises that if I come, you'll receive me, and you'll never cast me out. Some people say, well, how do you reconcile those two, God's sovereignty and man's salvation, man's decision? I don't try to accommodate them. You don't try to reconcile friends. They're friends. God's sovereignty and man's responsibility, they're not enemies. They're friends. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You say, well, how do I know whether I'm one of those that are part of that all? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. How do I know that I'm one of them? Some people say you can't know. You know, you have to wait till the end of life to know whether. That is what the Word of God teaches. You can know. And the way that you can know, by coming. Because the scripture says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. The Lord did not say that all were going to come to him. All people are not going to be saved. All people could be saved because of the work of Christ, but all people are not going to be saved. Remember those words in Timothy where it says, 1 Timothy 3:16, it says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in flesh, justified in spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the nations, and that didn't take place until after the Lord Jesus went back to heaven. Believed on in the world. It doesn't say believed on by the world, because the Lord Jesus has not been believed on by the world. The vast majority are on the broad road leading to destruction. But if there are some who are going to be saved, he says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Why not be a part of that all? Well, the Lord tells you just exactly how you can be a part of it all. And that's the thing that you're concerned with. Suppose they said to you that we've got a cure for cancer, and some people will be cured and some won't be. Well, if you thought there was a reasonable chance, you'd probably take it, wouldn't you? Can't heal everybody, but some get healed. If they take this treatment, they get healed. Well, I'll tell you this. If you come to Christ, you'll be saved. Does it make any difference what your life has been in the past, whether you've been religious or irreligious? You could have cursed every day of your life. You could have been a fornicator, an adulterer. You could have been unfaithful to your wife or to your husband. The Lord doesn't say anything about any of that stuff at all. He widens the whole world he takes in. He says, him or her that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. He doesn't only guarantee you to receive. That's one. To think that the Son of God came into this world to save sinners is marvelous, but that he'll receive me is wonderful. Far more wonderful than that to me is this. He'll never cast us out. Him that comes to me is really a double negative. If we translated it, it would say, him that cometh to me, I will never cast out. You know, when we say never, it doesn't mean too much. I'll never forgive him. And the next week you're back with that person. When God says never, it means never. My sheep hear my voice, he says. Give unto them eternal life. They follow me. They shall never perish. Never, never. Really double negative. They shall never, never perish. Those who come to Christ come because both of the Father and the Son. First of all, we've been given. All that come to Christ have been given by the Father to the Son. God's gift to his Son. And he's never going to take it back. All that ever come to Christ come because of the Son. Because he was beaten unto death. And on that cross over 1900 years ago, they went both together, the Father and the Son. God laid on him the iniquity of us all. With all we like sheep have gone astray, we've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. All won't be saved, as I said. But all who are saved will have come to Christ. There's no other way of salvation. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Some come to Christ very slowly. Some come to Christ when they're just a little child. 5 or 6 years of age. The president of Emmaus Bible College, Dan Smith, told me he trusted Christ when he was 5 years old. Just a little boy. And I have met people that have come to Christ in their 80s or 90s. And some have come to Christ rather hesitatingly, wondering whether they would be received at all. And some have come running to the Savior. But whether you walk in stumbling steps or whether you run, the promise is, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. There may be sin in your life so black that you'd be ashamed to have anybody here in this island know of the sin that you've been guilty of. You have been hardening your neck grasp for years against the appeals of the gospel, and you've said, I won't, I won't, I won't. The Lord says, never mind all what you've done in the past, turning your back on me. If you'll come now, I won't cast you out. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, be not deceived. The unrighteous, idolaters, adulterers, fornicators, homosexuals, so forth and so on. None of these are going to inherit the kingdom of God. They're all lost, a whole bunch of them. But praise God, he doesn't stop there. He says, and such were some of you. Some of those in the church at Corinth had been guilty of murder. They had been guilty of adultery. They had been guilty of fornication. They had been guilty of homosexuality. But that's what they were. But now, having come to Christ, saved by the grace of God, he discovered that coming to Christ, he not only saved from the penalty of sin, the judgment that this sin deserved, but he gives you a new life. The Spirit of God comes in to take residence in your life and gives you the power to live a life honoring to God. It says, him that cometh to me. It doesn't say him that is educated or uneducated. Him that is rich or him that is poor doesn't say anything about that at all. It just says, him that cometh to me, I will know why. Yes, sinner. That's what he came for. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, it's a faithful saying, and it's worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, not to try to improve people. He came to save them. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people. Not help his people save themselves. He came to save them. For those who were helpless and hopeless, he came. Sinners. Oh, what a blessed message that is. Jesus will receive. Sound this word of grace to all who the heavenly pathway leave. All who linger, all who fall. Sing it o'er and o'er again. Christ, receive it. Symbol. Men. He said, they that are well need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The only thing that you need to be saved tonight is sin. You can come with your sin to the sinner's Savior. Jesus receives sinners. No hint, as I said, is said about the extent of their sin, whether they're blasphemers, devilish. Doesn't say anything about that at all. No limit whatever. It just says, come. You know, sometimes it takes people a long while to see salvation. I remember years ago, we had in our home, my parents' home, I should say, to be exact, had a picture of a bush. It had been taken in wintertime. And when you looked at it, it just looked like a lot of black and white. It didn't make any sense at all. But if you looked at it a certain way, you could see the face of Christ as we often see in picture. And we had people come by our home, and my dad would point it out to them, and he tried to describe how the face of Christ was in this picture. And some people would take them 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Some people never saw it. My mother never saw it. She looked at that, and we pointed out to her, don't you see this, mother? She never saw it. I remember one day, old brother Walter Monroe came in, and he was looking at my dad's book, and dad was telling about this thing at the meantime, and he turned around like, I see it! Just like that. And that's the way it is. You know, it takes a long time sometimes for people to see the Savior, to recognize that He is my Savior. What a difference that makes. That little word, my. The Lord is my shepherd. It's not enough that the Lord Jesus is able to save. The important thing for you is He my Savior? Nothing else really matters. You could have all the money in the world, and when you close your eyes in this life, that means absolutely nothing. The Scripture says we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. The most important decision you'll ever make in your life is in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son. The case was hopeless as far as man was concerned. But God in mercy sent His Son. We are saved. No limit is set to age. 5-year-old can come. 50-year-old can come. Nothing is said about that whatever. Just come. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Let me ask you, how long is never? Him that cometh to me, I will never cast out. He says, if you come, I'll receive. And I'll never cast you out. You know, when it speaks about, in the first verse, it speaks of the great company. All. Well, that all, whoever's included, and I don't know how many are in that all. There may be 15 billion, I don't know. But when that last soul is saved, the Lord Jesus is going to come. And when He comes, this invitation will never be preached anymore. He says in His Word, now is accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Let me tell you here tonight, if you know not Christ, you will never have a better time to come to Christ than right now. And let me also tell you this, you may never have another time to come to Christ. Just a couple of days ago, Walton Pinder was living. And he was speaking to some people about what he was going to do in the future, but he only had a couple of days to live. He didn't know it. But the Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, and we will keep that appointment. And none of us know when it's going to be. Somebody has said the half of wisdom is being wise in tongues. We were singing this evening. Life at best is very brief. like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf in time. And I would urge you tonight, on the authority of God's word, not to wait, not to put off the matter of your salvation. But while it is still the day of grace, come to the Savior and be assured of his precious holy work. Heaven and earth are going to pass away, but my word shall not pass away. The Lord Jesus said, I've come to do the Father's will. And they said, this is the Father's will. What, Lord? Of all which he has given me, I'm going to lose nothing, but I'm going to raise it up at the last day. Everyone that Christ has been given by God, he's going to take home to heaven someday out of this world. I'm going to raise them up at the last day. You say, but how do I know that I'm in that number? Well, the Lord tells you in verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. You can take it right home to your own soul. Say, yes, Lord Jesus, I'm going to trust you as my Savior. The Lord says, well, you're one of the Father's all, and you're the one that I'm going to raise someday. I trust that you have this hope in Christ. It can be yours tonight if you'll just take the Lord Jesus at his word. God is not a man that he should lie. Had he said it, he would not make it good. You know, when we rest on the word of Christ, we are resting on the most secure thing in the universe. The Lord Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away. Spanish Wells is going to go into oblivion someday. The earth and the works that are therein are all going to be burned up. There's nothing here that God's going to keep. It's all going. He's taking out of this world a people for his name. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And when you take Christ at his word, believe his promise, you make the most wonderful trip in the world. You pass from death into life. And you can go out of here tonight and you can rejoice and say, Lord Jesus, I've trusted you. I've taken you at your word, and you're not going to go back on it. He said, him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. I'm coming. How are you going to come? How am I going to come? Well, you know what Charles Eliot wrote? Just as I am. That's the way to come. Without one plea. That thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting now to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive. How do we know that? He said it. Just as I am, thou wilt receive. Will welcome, pardon, cleanse, relief. Because thy promise, I believe. O Lamb of God, I come. I do trust that you'll take Christ at his word tonight. And pass from death. We're going to sing a closing hymn, and then we're going to have a word of prayer. Number 227. Listen. That's the first word in this hymn. Listen. Sometimes we're not listening. Listen to the blessed invitation. That's what it says. Sweeter than the notes of angel song, chiming softly with the heavenly cadence, calling to the passing throng, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. We'll sing the second and the fourth verses only of Numbers 227. Listen to the blessed invitation. Our Father, we're thankful that it is still the day of thy grace. We know from thy word that there's coming a day when the door will be shut. No longer will there be an open door policy for the sinner. No longer will we hear, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Nowhere more will we hear, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Those words, while they're binding for eternity, are binding only on those that come in the day of thy grace. You know, Father, Lord Jesus, that all that the Father has given me will come to thee. And we do not know when that last one will come. We know that God's house is filling fast, and some soul will be the last. May this solemn thought impress it on the minds of each one here present that one day, and perhaps very soon, the day of thy grace will end forever, and the door will be shut. Many will stand without knocking and say, Lord, Lord, open, and it will be too late. But oh, how we bless thee, our God, it is not yet too late. Thou hast not closed the day of grace, thou hast not shut the gate. Let us stand, Lord Jesus, with hands outstretched to each one here in this room. Let us say, him that comes to me, I'll not only receive, but I'll never, never cast out. How wonderful, how marvelous thy matchless grace. How wonderful that thou hast not dealt with us after our sins, or rewarded us according to our iniquities, but as the heavens above the earth, so great is thy mercy toward those that trust thee. And so we just pray thy blessing on thy word tonight. Use it in each of our lives for thy glory and our help, we pray in Jesus' name.